actually the story began in a different direction. She said, wouldn't it be funny if, you know, there was someone, you know, some guy or some expert claiming that, you know, he or she had all the terms and that they were non-negotiable, you know, LOL meant X and he or she had all of the answers versus maybe someone else somewhere else having a different set of definitions. And, you know, it would be nice to have a story, you know, with conflict and, you know, how all of these terms come to be and, you know, all the different meanings. And when I, you know, did some preliminary reporting, I was like, well, I'm not finding too many experts, but it is really catching on. People are having to define terms more than they would probably want to, and here's why. So that's how it all began.
And a lot of this is because this is how people are almost speaking nowadays. They're putting it, it's not just in text messages, but you find them on Twitter, you find them on even emails.
Indeed. At work, people are, you know, gone for the day, you know, GFTD. It's kind of, you know, it's really literal, but it saves a lot of time. So, I mean, usually if you see something, you could probably just guess and you'd probably be right. So.
And do you find that it's not just catching on among the kids and the hip folks like Christopher, but among, like, standardized? I mean, dictionaries, style books, they're starting to pick up on this.
Right. When I was speaking with the gentleman from Webster's, Merriam-Webster's, he told me that, you know, they try to be behind with how terms are being used just because, you know, they don't want to just include something formally that is likely to be phased out. So, you know, LOL and another term. He just made sure that, you know, Merriam-Webster was very clear about making sure that it stuck around. And the way they, you know, choose to add words is by making sure that they've been printed. And, you know, LOL and BFF,
yeah,
all of those, you know, OMG, they're becoming a part of the vernacular, whether we like it or not.
And
so.
People are using it. Like, I was talking to a 20-something, of course, yesterday, and mm-hmm. she said, oh, we'll just be BFF. And I thought about it, and I said, oh, yeah, okay. And I thought, you know, and people do actually start to incorporate that lexicon into their regular speech.
Yep.
Do you?
This is true.
Do you do that?
Do I personally do it?
Yeah.
I do it jokingly. I certainly...
Particularly as you were writing this story, you had to send them off to your friends and say, you'll never guess what they've come up with now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in fact, I texted Petey. I mentioned them in my story. They sent the journal, you know, to me, a whole bunch of these little pocket books, and I gave them all to my editors and to some other reporters, and we just would talk in these abbreviations, kind of, you know, making fun of the new way people communicate.
There are a couple that are focused specifically, and the story has a great list of what all these are, almost like a little glossary of what these
mm-hmm.
are. And
right.
some of them clearly are for the 20-somethings or even younger than that. PIR, of course, is parents in room. And then one that I still don't fully get, which is 99, is parents no longer watching, which I'm not sure
what
why.
Is that? Well, how did that come to be?
I don't know why.
I have no idea. I just cross-referenced it on a couple of, you know, these lingo sites, and it seems to be a consistent understanding that means, you know, parents are no longer watching. I'm not sure why the 9, but I wish I could tell you, but I don't.
Yeah, and there's one for high five, which is the sort of up arrow kind of thing, 5.
Yes, we added that because we thought that was cute.
Yeah, it's very cute.
You know what we need? We need, like, an emoticon for people who roll their eyes, because
there's actually one for that.
There is. How do I make that? Because I need to make that.
I'm looking right now, but I definitely came across it. It's so funny when I would send out these mass queries for people. You know, I think I sent out, please write to me if you use.
Where did you do that? How did you find these?
There is actually this website called Help a Reporter Out. And you can send out queries, and, you know, you have real people who they just want to help reporters. And then, you know, I'd make sure They are who they say they are, and I talk to them, and that's certainly a new way reporters find their information.
Well, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard of.
And the reason I was interested in this story is because this is happening more in the workplace. And so all of a sudden, if you're a manager or a boss and somebody, you have one of your kids, the young people who sends you this, you're going to have to almost be able to at least understand what in the world they're talking about.
Certainly, boss is listening, VIL, we include it on the list. GBTW, get back to work.
Right.
I don't know.
Not
we,
safe
we
for work.
To
not NSFW. I learned that one just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, right.
Oh, did you?
And you were telling us that the biggest question that you got on this was about the headline. People say, and the headline is quick, tell us what KUTGW means. And you got
right.
a lot of people who sent you emails saying, hold on, what does this mean?
Right. That was the number one question I received. I had some, maybe like 60 people actually took the time to write to me directly, and I would say maybe 20%, that's what they were wondering.
Which, of course, you have it identified in the sidebar, and tell us what it means.
It means keep up the good work.
And
that's
it,
what it means.
And it's and it is remarkable that people are sort of speaking in this way. Does it seem like this is more texting, or is it Twitter, too, that's sort of spurring the development of this?
I think Twitter definitely plays a role with executives trying to figure out this kind of stuff, specifically the woman I mentioned in my story, the media speech trainer, Stephanie Grayson. She was talking to me about how, you know, her job is to train, you know, CEOs, CFOs, COOs for their public appearances, and what a lot of people are doing these days, companies are doing, they have these open sessions with Twitter, and, you know, Twitter, you know, we can write messages per Twitter, but we're limited to only 140 characters, so we're likely to abbreviate stuff. But if you, the CEO, you don't know what I'm saying, your company might completely seem out of tune with, you know, new media like Twitter. So
exactly.
I have a strange off sidebar question, and if you don't know the answer, that's fine. And that is this: people all over the world use Twitter, and they text all over the world. But are these abbreviations, the ones particularly that you looked at, specific to English-speaking areas? I mean, do people in, like, Japan and, you know, don't speak English, do they do this too?
Actually, I'm glad you asked. In my reporting, I did notice a couple of people, they wanted me to kind of mention that in the story, and it is happening. I guess we couldn't work it in for space reasons, but it is happening. There's two things happening. There's Spanish, specifically is what I personally saw, like, A-D-M-I, Dios mío, which is the Spanish version of Oh My God.
OMG!
exactly. So that's happening, and people are also, you know, they will just use English abbreviations, but they're speaking in Spanish. Like, I had one, actually, the example I can give you is Russian. I had a mother who responded to one of my queries that said, are your kids texting? You know, is that challenging for you? And one of the parents, she was like, yes, and it's especially confusing because they're writing in Russian, but then they're using these English acronyms, so I'm really out of it.
Oh,
it's
very
kind of
clever.
Just, yeah,
very
yeah.
Clever.